right, and we are back with another episode of Sonic Reformation. Paul, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been meaning to ask you, I know you're into fitness. I mean, you're a pretty stocky built dude. So do you do like any kind of flag football, or you kind of do anything on the side? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. Well, it's been one of those things. Growing up, I was kind of always a smaller guy. And I was always the youngest in my class, shortest and youngest in my class. So at about the age of, I was probably about 15 or 16, I grew up playing sports. But at around the age of 15 or 16, my dad goes out and buys this Olympic weightlifting set. And I was just fascinated with it. Absolutely loved it. My dad and I still to this day, I think we were thinking back, and we have been working out together for, man, I think we are coming up on like 27 years. So he still comes over to the house. What we did was, my poor mom, when my dad bought the Olympic weight set when I was 16. When I was 16, we actually put it in the dining room of the house. So my mom's dining room was turned into a weight room. And then, yeah, she was great. Then once I got married, I took the weight room with me, and we had it in the basement of our house. And my dad, instead of us working out in the dining room where I grew up, he would just come over to my house in the evenings, and we work out there. And we still do that today. So I think it's been like 27 years. We've been 26 years we've been doing this. So I still enjoy doing it, love doing it. And then for like any side activity or hobbies, I should say, I used to play slow pitch softball, but that's been a while back. And now it's pretty much whatever sport my nephew is playing, that's kind of what I'm involved in. But yeah, back in my younger days, we played flag football and the slow pitch softball thing. Really enjoyed it. But after a while, man, the body can only handle so much.
So I was going to, do you play like golf or anything? Are you into golf or anything like that?
You know, I tried and I just couldn't do it. I could not golf. I mean, for those who can, I think that's great. But it was something that, like I said, I tried. And if I'm not good at something, I'm done with it. I'm just done with it. So
I got you. Yeah, I'm not really a big golf fan myself, but I tell you what, I went Sunday with some church members, and we played this thing called disc golf.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, yeah, I have, yeah.
When I tell you, I didn't think I was going to like it, but it is actually pretty doggone fun.
Well, and you can do it just about anywhere, really, can't you?
It was my first time playing, and right here in our town, we have an 18 hole course.
No kidding.
Yeah, but I had a great time. So I think I'm gonna try to make it at least about a once a month deal. You know.
Oh, right on. Well, that's good, man. I think anytime you can get outside, and I love being outside. If the sun's out, I think you should be out. And if there's an activity that you can do, bro, I'm all for it.
Yeah, you want to check it out and see if y'all got something around. I'm sure you do. See if y'all got something around your area and just try it out one time. I think it's actually pretty cool.
Right on. I'll check that out. Well, next on ESPN, we're going to be talking about. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. So we were
kind of got distracted there.
We were out last week, and it just happened. We weren't able to record. So we're coming back this week somewhat strong. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I saw this, let's see here, probably about, I think it was last week sometime. And I was scrolling through. There's a couple of sites that I'll go to in the morning, just see what's taking place or what's going on news-wise within the church and just around the world. And I came across the Net Church. Now, we've talked about the Net Church before, and the Net Church is in my neck of the woods. It's in the Chattanooga area. And it's a church that takes place inside a movie theater. Now, there's been some strange things happening with the Net Church. And when I mean strange, I mean theologically off the charts. It seems that the pastor, who his name's Ryan May, of the Net Church, and I'm just assuming this, has been heavily influenced by Rob Bell. And I say that because he is now gay affirming when it comes to serving in the church, church membership, all on board. And this day and age, we know that if you speak out or if you see homosexuality as what it is and that being a sin, and if you speak out against it, then you're homophobic and you are a hateful person. Now, and I don't mean to speak for Paul here, but I'm going to, and so Paul, correct me if I'm wrong. The reason why we speak out against homosexuality is because biblically, God despises sin, detests sin. God defines homosexuality as an abomination, that it goes against the natural order in which he has set up. Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve, that was the setup. That was how one is able to procreate. Man and woman. So when Paul and I speak out against homosexuality, it's out of love for that person who is in or living in that sinful lifestyle, because we want them to repent of their sin. We want them to turn from it. We want them to hear the truth, and by way of them hearing the word of God, the Holy Spirit coming upon them, regenerating their heart, so that they can leave that lifestyle of sin. So often when a Christian speaks against homosexuality, we are seen as being hateful, as being mean-spirited, not loving, but it's actually the exact opposite. Now, I will say there are some so-called Christians out there who are mean-spirited, who are just plain evil when it comes to speaking of homosexualities. The one church, for example, that would be the Westboro Baptist Church, and their statement, and when they are protesting outside, oftentimes, of a soldier's funeral, you'll see them hold up the signs, God hates fags, and just all kinds of nasty stuff. That is not the approach that Paul nor I hold to. As a matter of fact, we speak against that. The message that we are coming with when we are speaking against this issue is out of love, and because we believe the Bible to be inerrant and infallible, and we hold it to be true. And because we are disciples of Christ, then we are to speak out against the things that Christ, that God, the Holy Spirit, the triune God, despise. And this is one of those things. Paul, you got anything to add to that?
No, I'm with you 100%.
Okay, so this, sorry, I got a big swig there. It's probably not good podcasting etiquette. But anyway, let's see, this was from Reformation Charlotte. It was posted September 28, 2019. And it says, megachurch interviews lesbian married couple wearing Jesus culture t-shirt affirms their lifestyle. So I'll read this real quick. Net Church is a megachurch outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, pastored by hireling Ryan May. May ran a number of interviews last Sunday, including an interview of married lesbians Heather and Ashley, I think it's Peristyne, who said they came 2 weeks after May preached a sermon on inclusion. The lesbians said they felt welcomed by the church since they don't fit the description of a Christian or look like what a Christian should look like. Obviously, these women aren't Christians and neither is the pastor. Again, this is the Charlotte Reformation post by Jeff Maples. Goes on to say, yet the church is growing in popularity around the Chattanooga area. Interestingly, one of the lesbians was wearing a Jesus Culture t-shirt. One could only imagine that the lesbian felt comfortable enough with Jesus Culture and their parent church, Bethel Redding, who recently compromised on homosexuality as well, which I haven't looked into that, Paul. I don't know if you have or not, but I haven't looked into what Bethel Redding has done. So let's see here. It says, one of the lesbians said that they were immediately drawn to the pastor after he said during one of his services that there are more than one way to, that there are more than one way to read the Bible. In other words, May denies the authority of God's word. And just like Satan asked, did God really say? So I'm going to play this clip that's posted up here. And this is the so-called married couple, that being, what was their names again? Come on, Britt. Heather and Ashley Perrystein. I hope I'm saying their last name correctly. But this is them speaking, the two together, the married couple, and then the pastor up on stage at the Net Church. And let's see here. Make sure I get to the right spot of this clip. All right. And here we go. And it's buffering. It's buffering. It's still buffering. This makes for great podcasts. I don't know what's going on, man. Let me try this again. Here we go.
We've got one other couple we're going to have come up today. Thank you guys so much. All right, so that's Brian and Jennifer. Let's welcome Heather and Ashley to the stage as well today.
He's actually up on stage dancing right now. Waiting for him.
They, yay. So, I picked that song for you, Happy, because every time you walk through the doors of the, I don't want to cry now, I'm going to, every time you walk through the doors of this church, you greet me with the biggest smiles and hugs and,
I'm going to stop this just for a second. So we have, secular music playing as this lesbian couple is coming up on stage to talk about their experience at the Net Church. Biblically, what should be taking place in an instance like this is, first, a real pastor would have approached these women and would have confronted them with the word of God. And you can do this lovingly. You can do this graciously. You can do this with pure mercy. But you are to warn that couple that the lifestyle they're living in does not please the Lord. Matter of fact, he sees it as sin. Like I said earlier, he sees it as an abomination. He sees that it goes against the very natural law in which he is created for man and woman. And yet here these two are spitting on how he has created man and woman and the state in which they are to be married.
Yeah. But, you know, when we're talking about this subject, I think it's always helpful if we don't just make assertions that we throw out scripture there that proves what we're saying. And I think 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, says everything that needs to be said concerning this subject. If you go there and you start in verse 9, it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, nor the revilers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. Such were, key word there, in this whole part that we're talking about. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and all the Spirit, in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Hmm. So in verse 11 there, it talks about some were. So what they're saying is that they're not anymore, and the issue that we're dealing with here is they're still identifying with their sin, and they're embracing that sin.
The one thing that greatly concerns me is not only the souls of these two ladies that are up on stage who are just flat out rejecting the laws of God, but also for this so-called pastor. And what's terrifying is if he does not repent, if he does not turn from this wickedness that he is accepting and claiming to be good, that day when he stands before God, he's going to be held to a higher standard because of the title in which he holds. And you know, I pray that in some way, shape, or form, someone who truly loves this man pulls him aside and tells him the truth, shows him the gospel. And then I pray at that point in time that he's able to truly receive the good news, because I don't believe he holds to it right now. I don't consider him to be a true pastor, but a false teacher. And what this man is doing by way of embracing this lifestyle is he's paving a path straight to hell, not only for these two women, but for the others in the congregation who are sitting underneath this false teacher. And that's just, it's terrifying to me. It's terrifying. So I'm going to hit play, and we'll let this play a little bit longer so you can hear a bit more of this.
I told him, I was like, it's okay if you cry.
He didn't know he was talking about himself.
So it's just been really refreshing having you here.
Let's say it that way. Yeah. So sweet. Well, we feel the exact same way.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's chat for a minute. You ended up at the net how?
It's my fault.
Give her the mic.
No, go ahead.
So we have been in churches most of our lives, have felt very comfortable in some and not as comfortable in others, understandably. And this last year we had really been in.
Understandably. Why do you think that's understandably, Paul? Why do you think she would say something like that? Maybe because the churches that they were attending that were biblical were calling out their sin, and they weren't comfortable with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that's what it was. And of course, you know, you're going to come in all smiles when you find a group of people that's going to embrace your sin and not call it sin, and then still say that you can, you know, you can participate in being a Christian.
Yeah. It's strange that this day and age we have become so effeminate. We have become so sensitive that when one actually holds to the Word of God and holds to the laws of God, and what is that the law does? The law convicts us by way of showing us our sins. For the believer, it can lead and guide them. And for the non-believer, it's going to eventually condemn them. So what these women, when they walked into these churches that were biblical churches, And they were seeing their lifestyle for what it is, and that being sinful, rebellious against God. They were being convicted. They were feeling that weight upon themselves, knowing, with their conscience, knowing that what it is that they are doing day in and day out is pretty much giving the middle finger to God. So yes, that is going to weigh on you. And so now, just like you said, they find the net church, which is, I don't know of any other way to say it, do not know the heart of those people sitting in there, but if they're sitting underneath this teaching and the Holy Spirit is not jumping up inside of them by way of them not going to the Word and comparing what it is that this so-called pastor is teaching, because it wouldn't be hard to do to listen to one of his sermons, have a script, have the Word opened up and comparing it and seeing where it's not lining up at all. Nowhere even close. So I do not believe a true believer is going to remain in the net church. But when you have a bunch of non-believers in there and you're welcoming in two more non-believers, of course they're going to feel welcomed because they're surrounded by the same people that they are, non-believers. I'll play a little bit more.
A season, kind of like Brian and Jennifer, just of really on a journey to find out what we truly believed so that it could be personal, so that it wasn't just something that someone relayed to us that, you know, we regurgitated, but that it really meant something. And we were looking for you all, and we didn't even maybe realize it. And so then on Facebook,
your friend Anna Galladay.
Galladay, yeah.
Sorry, guys, I'm shaking. So let's she's
she's a minister in the Methodist Church.
Yes.
Yeah.
She shared your.
Okay, so I think we see something else happening right there by him stating his friend, who is a female, is a minister in the Methodist Church. So this man who claims to be a pastor truly doesn't know the Word or is flat out denying it by stating that his friend, who is a female, is a minister in the Methodist Church. And why is that an issue? It's an issue because a female, by way of the Scripture, cannot be an elder. And we're specifically told the reason why. It's because Eve was deceived first. And yet, the Scripture doesn't seem to truly matter to this Ryan May fellow. Do you see anything wrong with that, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, an egalitarian viewpoint, which to me just shouts out inclusive. You know, we're going to say nobody's excluded from anything. Women can preach. You can be homosexuals. It's that all inclusive. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
It goes back to, I mean, you can just run the list. I mean, that, you know, the people that say that, there's no such thing as, you know, limited atonement. It's unlimited atonement for them because they have to include everybody, you know. Why wouldn't God want to choose to save everybody? You know, it's that we have to include everybody. We can't exclude anyone. Mm. I mean, does that make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. We know that God, who foreordained all things to take place before the foundation of the world, has excluded some when it comes to who's going to believe and who isn't. And God has the right to do that and is righteous by way of doing that because he is the only one who is holy. So he has every right to not rescue the sinner from the pit of hell. he would have had every right for every man who has ever taken a breath on this earth to perish. Yet only by his grace and mercy has he rescued those whom he has chosen. And he,
right. And well, I mean, it goes back to what we've said before. It's not wow that he's saved some people. It's wow that he saved anybody at all.
That's right. That's right.
But if you just look at today's time, where everybody has got this mentality, where especially among Christian, I'm not talking about the secular world. The secular world just doing what the secular world does. I'm talking about amongst nominal Christians, the idea that God cannot exclude anyone. He has to include everyone. He has to atone for everyone. He has to, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
How we take what the Bible clearly teaches about who God is and who man is in relation to God. And they deny the very fact that God has and says in his word that he does what he pleases in the heavens and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can say to him, why have you done this?
That's exactly right.
But you know, it's extending to everything, especially now we're talking about sins here. Well, and it's only going to progress. It's just going to be to where, you know, the next, and we talked about this before, pedophiles is going to be deemed as just a sexual preference, and therefore it's not a sin because they were born, you know, the quotes there, born with that kind of orientation or whatever, you know, words that they want to redefine. So I think I'm rambling here a little bit, but
no. I'm following you. I think so. Let's do this. Let's back up. Let's say 100 years ago. Who would have ever thought that a lesbian couple would be sitting up in front of a so-called church congregation, being embraced, being loved, being told that they are okay living in this sinful lifestyle? Compare that 100 years later, where we are today in this postmodern world, where exactly what you were saying, and how we constantly keep moving that line. You know, it used to be that sin was accepted. It was okay to say that on a Sunday morning. It was okay to preach the law and gospel on a Sunday morning. But now, God is love. Rob Bell's heresy has done exactly what he wanted it to do. It has crept in to some of the most conservative locations, speaking of even the buckle of the Bible Belt, the South, and in Chattanooga, Tennessee, 2019, you have a church, so-called church, the pastor up front sitting with two lesbians embracing them.
Yeah, and let's make no mistake about this now. When we talk about God's love, me and Brett is talking about a biblical view of what it is, God's love. But when the world uses that, or even nominal Christians use it, they mean a totally different thing. They're meaning what their perspective of love is. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not going to be objective. In other words, it's not going to be a biblical God's love, but it's going to be a subjective, personal love. In other words, what that person deems what the definition of love is to them, in other words.
So we've gone from the objective truth, that being the word in which we hold to, that is our worldview, And at some point in time, that
to a subjective,
yes, yes, worldview, which is now inside the church. The church has removed the objective understanding of the scripture, the truth of scripture, and has replaced it with feelings and emotions. That is now speaking the truth, are your feelings and emotions, and no longer the scripture.
Yeah, and it goes back to the whole argument that we can, you know, find ourselves in week in and week out. When the world says God can't be, when the scripture says that God is love, they think in their minds, it doesn't seem loving to me that God could only choose some for salvation. He would have to choose everyone for salvation. So what we've done is we've went from the objective, the biblical view, to a subjective. In other words, we're saying that we have a better understanding of what love is than God does.
Yes. We have progressed.
Yes.
Yeah. We have evolved.
And that's happening that's happening with sin. That's happening with people's lifestyle. That's happening with people now saying that I can choose whatever gender I want to be, if I want to be male and female. Or they're even making up other genders. I mean, it's absolutely nuts.
Yeah, there's like 178 now.
Right.
Yeah. Back in the day, we were too simple. I mean, we just had two. That was it.
Right. Yeah.
Now, man, we're so woke. 158 genders is the norm. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's much more on this. I'll hit play and we'll go a little bit longer, but then we'll move on after this.
Our series of inclusion on March the 10th.
Out of hiding,
I think it was. And March the 10th in 1985, I was baptized. So when I saw March the 10th, I was like, what? And so we listened to the message, and of course I shared it with Ashley, and I said, we have to go. But not the very next week. We could not just go right after that. So we waited 2 weeks.
Storm the gates.
Yeah.
And I think when we saw even on Facebook how it's, okay, this is a pastor talking about our community. You know, even listening to the message, I got to be honest, is a little bit scary for us because we've heard a lot of messages about us. And so you know, we come with a certain amount of fear, and it just, the first time we listened to you, and then the first time that we walked through the door and saw your smiling face, like, it just, you know, a lot of you probably have some fear of going into a church for the first time, even if it is at the movie theater, which, by the way, we think is awesome. But each one of us, there's something that maybe we don't fit the description of a Christian, or we don't check everyone's box of what a Jesus follower should look like. And so we're
all right. I think the reason why, well, I know the reason why they don't fit the description of a Christian is because they're not. You cannot be living in that lifestyle and proclaim that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. The Holy Spirit would be rebelling within you to the point to where you could no longer continue to live in that manner. Because with the Holy Spirit dwelling within you now, one is able to crush that sin. Now listen, I'm not saying that you're not going to struggle at times. But you're able to crush that sin because that's the power of the Holy Ghost living within you. He's not going to allow you to continue to mock the Word of God. So yes, there is a reason why you do not fit that Christian checklist. Now, is that hard to say? Do you think Paul or myself find any type of joy or pleasure in this? Absolutely not. I think Paul would agree with me that I would love for us to not have to do a polemics podcast. I would love nothing more than to leave the church on a Monday evening and go home and have dinner. I know Paul, after working a long day, driving trucks, would love to just be able to come home and just be able to chill and relax. But instead, we're coming together as brothers in Christ to warn you all about what is happening to the church. And again, we find no pleasure in this. However, this is what one is called to do. It is to protect the flock, your brothers and sisters, to guard the flock from these wolves. And to be honest with you, Paul and I would not have to even worry about this podcast if pastors today were doing their job. There was a couple here at the church, Paul, that had been here for almost a year and a half, and they have recently left us, and it's because of our polemical teaching. They say that they don't like for their kids to hear the pastor calling out other pastors by name. Do I like hearing that? Absolutely not. I would love for there to be no controversy whatsoever when I step down from the pulpit or when another elder is done teaching, and when the scripture verses that we're preaching and teaching on call for us to call out false doctrine and the one spewing it. But that's what we're called to do.
Well, and what that says is, and whether they, you know, had this intention or not, but what it says by their actions is, I would rather lean on my own understanding versus what Scripture says. Because that's what we're doing. We are holding up what people are doing against what Scripture says for people to do.
Yeah.
And we're discerning truth from untruth, what's right and what's wrong. And in this day and time, what you're having is a redefinition of words to mean the opposite of what they're supposed to mean, and therefore you have this now truth. We talked about this several times. We just talked about it a second ago, that truth is subjective now. It's not, there's no objective truth. I probably sound like a broken record on this deal, but it is so aggravating when it's clear. It's in black and white print.
Yep.
For us to read.
Well, you just keep letting that broken record spin, brother. All right, we're going to jump on. Or move on, I should say jump on. That didn't sound right. So we're going to move on. But if you know anyone that attends the Net Church, please, please warn them about the false teaching that is coming from the so-called pastor there by the name of Ryan May. I hope I got his name right. Let me double check that. Oh, where is your name? Yes, it is Ryan May. Okay, now we're going to be moving on to another so-called pastor by the name of Ed Young. We have talked about Ed Young before. Ed Young Jr., I should say. If I'm not mistaken, the clip we talked about, and it's probably been about a year and a half ago, maybe a year ago, was Ed Young Jr. speaking out against Calvinism. Kept talking about putting God in a box. It's absolutely horrendous. But let me give you just a little background about Ed Young. Ed Young is the senior pastor of Fellowship Church. Ed Young is the founding and senior pastor of Fellowship Church with locations in Texas, Florida, Oklahoma, and online at fellowshiplive.com. As a noted author, Ed has written 15 books. Get a load of this, man. Get a load of these names. Including his most recent book, 50 Shades of They. I'm not kidding. That's really the title. 50 Shades of They and New York Times bestseller, Sexperiment. No, I'm going to
break.
Yeah. So here's something that's kind of interesting. Actually, it's not interesting. It's just stupid. But when Ed Young Jr. and his wife were promoting this book, Sexperiment, they placed a bed on top of the church building. On top of the church building. So this bed was up on top of the actual church. Well, the roof of the church, I think it was like solid white or something along those lines. So they were going to do I think they called it a 24-hour bed-in, where he and his wife were going to lay in this bed for 24 hours. There were news crews coming by, interviewing them. The only problem is the sun was out that day, and with the white rooftop that they were on, that the sun's reflection was actually bouncing off of that roof and into the face of Ed Young Jr., who was not wearing sunglasses. And if I'm not mistaken, go back and check me on this, but he ended up having to go to the hospital. He couldn't finish the 24-hour bed in because he had burned his retina. True story. Dude burned his retinas. So anyway, that was for the book Sexperiment. He has other books, including Outrageous, Contagious, Joy, Beautiful, and Kid CEO. I'm not going to say much more than that. I think that kind of tells you everything that you need to know about the type of pastor Ed Young Jr. supposedly is.
So loves to throw that innuendo there. Yeah, you know the word I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I know what you're saying there, innuendo. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. I mean, so I think it was on my, let me tell you, that website that I was just on, cause I'm terrible about doing this. I just read from fellowshipchurch.com. That's their own website there with Ed Young Jr. So Justin Peters on his Twitter page today, this popped up and, Ed Young posted this. And it said, there's nothing like when a person chooses to follow Christ at a young age. I'm going to back this up. And we're going to play this bad boy. And I'm just going to let you listen to this 57-second clip.
Remember God when you're young. Why do we wait until we're old to go, oh, I'm going to follow the Lord now? You ain't got much to offer him. I mean, I get it. You're going to heaven. But you ain't got much. Eyes failing, barely can walk. I want to give my heart to Jesus now. I want to study the book of Revelations. Well, it's not Revelations, you know. Don't wait until you're old. Hey, kids, everybody under 40, listen to me, and I'm talking to myself now. Everybody under 40. Remember the Creator when you're young. When you're young, that's what Solo Man said. Remember.
All right. You see any issues with that theological masterpiece that Ed Young Jr. put out on Twitter?
Yeah, I see a ton of errors there. I mean, we can go back to how are you going to choose something that you hate?
Yeah, something that you don't. How are you going to choose something that being spiritual when we are told in Ephesians that we are what? That we are dead in our trespasses and sins, that we're dead. We don't want God. Yet Ed Young Jr.'s theology is stating that God is waiting on us, that God has done all the work. And he's sitting up there with Jesus, just looking over at Jesus saying, I hope Johnny chooses us. God looking at Jesus and saying, you've done everything. All he has to do is just choose. Jesus looks at God. Well, what are we going to do until then? God says, I don't know. Just going to have to wait and see. And if they're listening to Ed Young Jr., maybe he'll get the point that if he does it at 8, it'll be a lot better if he does it at 80.
You know, it's, again, every time I get a chance, I want to go to Scripture. So if you go to Romans chapter 3.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, if you start at verse 8, where the context here in Romans 3 is talking about the Jews versus the Gentiles. Actually, I want to start at verse 9. Verse 9 says, what then? Are we better than they? And when it says we, it's referring to the Jewish people. So it says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. So what he's talking about Jews and Gentiles in Scripture, that's your two separations there. You either got the Jewish nation and everybody else is Gentile. So this would be a verse that covers all of humanity. Okay. And so verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none that's righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And verse 12 goes on to say that, you know, we have all gone out of the way. We're unprofitable. Verse 13, the throat is an open sepulcher. Our tongue is deceitful. Mouth is full of cursings. But what I want to go back to is verse 11. For it says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. So according to what Ed Young is saying here, is that you do have unregenerate people that do choose in and of themselves to seek after God. And that's the point that I wanted to make, that Ed Young is, he's in violation of verse 11 here, clearly.
Absolutely. And we don't have to dwell on this because we've talked about this so many times. However, it's just surprising to me that the church still follows this man who they claim to be their teacher. And let me finish with this thought. And let me go back to what I was saying earlier, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too. I've got to go. Sorry. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So that's us in our natural state, in our fallen state. So every unbeliever is what? Is hostile toward God. We don't want the law of God. And let me just finish with this right here. So that was Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Now let's go jump to Romans 8, 7 through 8. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So what must happen? What must happen? There has to be a work outside of ourselves, a holy work outside of ourselves. And that work is done by the one and only Holy Spirit regenerating these dead hearts of ours, bringing them to life so that we then want the truth. We crave the word because our eyes have been opened along with our heart and ears. There is no your choice to choose God, because your choice is always going to be no. That is your choice in your natural fallen state. Are you going to make a choice? Yeah. And it's going to be no every single time. So what Ed Young Jr. is stating there is not biblical. Paul, anything else you want to add to that, sir?
Yeah, well, I mean, we can just sit here and rattle off verses after verses where it talks about, even Paul said that he preaches Christ crucified, which is the gospel, okay? Paul says that when he preaches Christ crucified, that to the Gentiles is foolishness, and to the Jews is a stumbling block.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says the natural man. That the natural man is what Jesus says in John chapter 3, is that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's what, the scripture tries to give us different words to describe the same thing. So when we're talking about the natural man, we're saying that that it also means that which is born of the flesh, what Jesus was talking about. But in verse 14, it says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are discerned, which also goes back to the verse that I read prior that says that there is none that understandeth.
Mm. Well said. And I like what you did there by using the scripture. That's amazing when you do that. It speaks right. Truth, you know?
It's not like that we're just throwing our opinions out here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So guys, again, this is something that we do not see how I can word this. It's something that we have to do, not something that we love to do. And that's the bottom line. So we know that some people, when they hear this podcast, they think of us as being judgmental and mean and not caring. But I promise you, it's the exact opposite, because what we want to do is protect you from the wolves who are trying to creep in the church or who are already in the church. So as mean as it may come across, we are doing nothing but what the scripture tells us to do. And that's where we stand. That's where we stand.
Yeah, well, and just do a word search in scripture where it talks about do not be deceived, and find out how many times the Bible says do not be deceived. And if you are holding to what scripture says, you will not be deceived.
Yeah.
I think that would be a biblical fact.
I think you're right. I'll hold to that. Even if my feelings don't like it, I'm going to hold to what the scripture says. Well, guys.
And that's what we're asking people to do.
Amen. Amen. Anything else, Paul?
No, I think that about wraps it up.
Right on. Well, guys, thank you again for listening. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. If you guys have any comments, suggestions, complaints, rants, or just something nice to say, you can email us. You can hit me up at Britt, B-R-I-T-T, the number 7, at me.com. And Paul, take it away.
Yeah, hit me up at sonictruckerpaul@gmail.
All right, guys. Hey, man, hope you all enjoyed the show. We plan on doing it again next week. Till then, God bless.